Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here from the We Are Women podcast. Thank you for joining me today. Today with me, I have Alison Marie Oppenden. Now, Alison is an entrepreneur and a leader in the women's empowerment movement. She started her own award-winning business Today, Tomorrow and Always in 2016 and has been recognized local, state and national awards for her powerful work with people. One of the only 35 certified Soul Modes mentors in the world, Alison launched her newest offering, Alison Marie, in 2020 to educate and empower people to understand their femme core. And this is what we're going to be chatting about today, I'm sure. Alison has shared a message in magazine articles, podcasts, meetings, and conventions, including Unleash Con in 2021. Now, Alison is a genuine and authentic woman. I can attest to that. We've had lots of chats, and this is going to be a great conversation. You're going to love it. And she shares with empathy and compassion from her own experiences of domestic violence, military life, self-hatred, single parent. Parenthood, and so much more. And when you hear Alison's story, you are just going to be amazed at how she's come through everything with such great strength. Her goal is to help those who need a hand to hold as they get on their feet and begin to see light out of the darkness. Alison has a unique ability to remove the veil for women to not only see their own strengths, but their inner beauty as well. Alison Marie believes that all women deserve to live a life that is not a chore. Oh, goodness me, that sounds, I love this is the way you phrase that, but it is an exhilarating adventure. Alison Marie is a proud single mum of four, grandma of two, and she loves her crazy family life and doting on her boxer fur baby, Lyric. Alison and her family live their exhilarating lives in the Hunter region in Australia. It's such a beautiful place to be. Welcome, Alison. I often don't read them when they're a little bit long like that, but there was so much interest in there that I thought, this is so important. So welcome. I'm so glad that you could be here with me.
Thank you.
There's a whole lot even in that bio that I want to delve into. But, you know, one of the things that I first ask people is, you know, why do you do what you do? I mean, we do things for income, that really makes it, but there's from reading your bio and having discussions with you, I know that it comes from a different space than just a place to earn money. It's somewhere different. So tell me about you and what, why you do and your journey along the way.
So I've had quite an interesting life. I actually got married when I was 17. My eldest child was born 8 days after I turned 17. And I have, as you said, four children. And my second grandbaby is actually due in a couple of weeks, which is really exciting. And my eldest daughter got engaged on Sunday. So it's all happening.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, it's lovely. In a moment, I'll explain soul modes a bit more, but what most people assume is, oh, you've got daughters. So that's what drove you to becoming a soul modes mentor. And it actually wasn't. I have four children. I did it really evenly. I had a girl, a boy and a girl. I like things even. Yeah. And it was actually my eldest son that really shone the light for me on how incredibly healing and how this can actually change your life. I don't say the words lightly when I say this program and the foundations that I learned becoming a certified mentor actually saved his life.
Wow.
So at the age of, I'll give you the quick rundown.
Okay.
At the age of 14, he came out as gay. He was sitting in his bedroom across the hallway from me and sent me a text. And my response to him was, okay, great, darling. Did you take the rubbish out? And he come bursting into my room, tears flowing. And I said, what did you expect me to say? And he said, oh, no, I knew you'd still love me, but it was just that getting it out and that actually saying it out loud that kind of came with all the emotion. And for anyone listening, yes, he had taken the rubbish out, just to clear up that question for everyone. And he was such he was the kind of kid that would give you the shirt off his back without any hesitation. He was, I don't know how I got so lucky raising a kid that was just such a genuine, kind-hearted person that would put everyone around them first if need be. Fast forward 2 years at 16 and my boy started to change. Looking back, we can now see that this was actually the start of some really severe mental health issues. So when he was 10, he was diagnosed with severe depression and severe anxiety. So we knew about those and we knew how to deal with them. We weren't prepared for the alphabet that was yet to come. So at 16, due to a lot of these issues, there was a man that was introduced to him that was 20 and ended up being able to niggle his way in and manipulate my son into thinking that a life living outside of home has all of these shiny things and all of this amazing stuff to it, where you don't have parents telling you rules and you don't have bedtimes and all of this stuff, and convinced my son to move out and move in with him. I, as you can imagine, called every police agency, every doc. I even reported myself to docs thinking they would have to investigate and help me get my son back, and no one did. I was just at a loss. I couldn't do anything about it, even though I could foresee the road that he was walking. Mm-hmm. No one would help me stop and get him off that path. So before long, he became an ice addict. It only took a span of about 6 months before he was using ice, which is, for those overseas, I know that it's called many different names, but it's basically a version of methamphetamine that is the most mm-hmm. dangerous drug that we have here in Australia at the moment anyway. Over the course of 2 years, he ended up moving through a couple of boyfriends who began injecting him with it, and it was crazy.
That's desperate for a parent. That would be, one of the worst things.
Yeah.
And it's that the loss of for yourself, loss of how can I control the situation? And, you know, that's a big deal for a lot for parents. I know we don't want to control our children, but we want to control the situations that they get into.
And it's so funny because we tell new mums, when you feel like something's wrong with your baby, trust yourself. Mm. Your instincts about your baby kind of overrides. You know, if you take them to a doctor and say something's not right and they dismiss you, persist because you know your child better than anyone else. Mm. Yet when they hit teenage years, all of a sudden it's like, oh no, we don't believe you. And one of the conversations I had with a police officer was, here in Australia, the laws are that me as his legal guardian, if he was to go and steal a car, crash that car into someone's house and it bursts into flames and they lose everything, as his legal guardian, I'm the one they sue. However, I do not have the power by law to go and have him removed from a situation that I know and that is deemed to be unsafe.
Wow, that's so wrong.
Yeah. How can you hold me accountable for one thing, but yet not give me the power to
fix it or change it? Yeah.
So it's an absolute ridiculous loophole. But look, we've been through, like, for those 2 years, I kind of woke up every day wondering, is today the day someone's going to knock on my door or a phone call I'm going to answer to say, we found what we believe is your son's body. Can you please come and identify him? And I'm not going to cry because
it's
keep myself together.
Yeah.
But to all of the mums out there, mm-hmm. I know that you can all, in that moment, hearing those words, you can all understand how I felt in that. Well, you can try to understand how I felt in every single day. Just every time my phone would ring, every time someone would knock at the door that I wasn't expecting, it was constant. Now, we did manage to get him clean twice before. And during that second time, at around age 17, we discovered that he actually was suffering from bipolar disorder type 1, as well as borderline personality disorder, OCD, ROCD, the anxiety and depression that we already knew about, and PTSD, along with some others, just to give you a few.
Goodness. For a 17-year-old to, you know, I was talking to a friend this morning, and her 17-year-old's just going through that rebellious teenage years, and just, you know, I've had two sons, and it's, they like to think that they're right a lot of the time. So to be in that space with all of the, as you said, the alphabet of diagnosis as well, that's just, and I can't imagine how he was trying to cope with that through drugs, obviously.
And that's kind of fast forward to now, he's 19 now, fast forward to now, and we are currently in a phase where, thanks to what I'm about to explain, combined with the help of his psychiatrist and medication, I now have my son back.
Wow, that's wonderful.
He is running a successful business and he's kind of kicking life's ass. But this is a milestone that we never thought we'd get.
Mm.
So we went to, started seeing his psychiatrist at 17, and we went through the medical Bible. And to be diagnosed with bipolar type 1 disorder or type 2 here in Australia, you have to be over 18 years of age and meet a list of about 12 to 15 things. I forget exactly. We met all of those things, but he was only 17. And so nobody would diagnose him and medicate him. So he went back to drugs because the drugs stopped the voices. So the difference between type 1 and 2, for those that don't know, is that bipolar type 1 comes with schizophrenic tendencies. So he was hearing voices, and not just one. They were all different. They had different tones. They had different sexes. Like, there was both women and men voices talking to him all the time. And then he knew, thanks to these darling men, that his taste in men's really bad, which let's just put that out right there.
That will improve with maturity. Yeah.
Look, it can't get any worse at this point. But thanks to those, and I say thanks sarcastically, he knew that he had a way to stop those voices himself. He had me saying to him, we have to do it the right way. We have to, you know, keep pushing. And with each suicide attempt and each overdose and all of those, I would scream to the emergency room doctors, you can tick all of these boxes. You know you can, but not the age one. How is it that in 2021, we are still forcing kids or anyone of any age to live with something that my son would rather die than live with? And they just kept going back to this book and saying, we can't do anything. Our hands are tied.
Goodness, so finally, just the hypocrisy of that and everything else that's happening in the world at the moment, my head is spinning.
Yeah. I had no idea how bad our mental health system was here in Australia. I consider myself extremely lucky to live in a country where we have medical attention available to anyone that needs it. But when it comes to the mental health side of things, it's atrocious. The fact that I was forced to keep forcing him to try and make the right choices while having that whole alphabet going on inside him and nothing to help. We couldn't put him on antidepressants because with bipolar disorder, it's actually the manic episodes that are more dangerous than the depressive. So he was driving to Sydney with his boyfriend on one occasion and they were arguing, and he tried to jump out of the car on four separate occasions. And when they were traveling at 120 kilometers an hour at that point. And when he came home and we talked about it, he said, Mum, if I was at home and we were arguing, I would have left the room and cooled down and then come back to it. He said, my brain, because he was in a manic episode, was just leave the conversation, we'll come back to it. That's how his brain was thinking. It didn't take into consideration that they were in a vehicle. There was no fear of safety. When anyone is in a manic episode, they feel invincible. And the example that I've used, because I've asked him, is that he would stand on the top of the tallest building in the world, ready to jump off, knowing that with such certainty as you and I know that gravity exists and he's going to fall, just as sure as we are of that, he's that sure that he's going to fly and be fine. And that's why bipolar is so scary, because it's not that they are doing things that are dangerous without consequence. It's that their brain is genuinely telling them and making them wholeheartedly feel that they're invincible. They can jump. Wow. I said to him, if he was at a party and, God forbid, someone had a gun, he's the kid that would have, or the person that would have stood in front of them and said, come on, shoot me, I'll jump out of the way. Don't worry about it, I'll be fine. I promise, I'll jump out of the way. And it scares me more than any depressive episode he's ever had, because it was in those high moments that there was no thought to anything going wrong, because in his mind, nothing could go wrong.
And thank you for explaining that, because I think, you know, I'd be very few of the listeners, unless they've had experiences in that in their own lives, that would have that understanding.
Yes.
And that's tragic, really, isn't
it? Yeah. And with the antidepressants, the idea of that is that if you're in a depressive state, that medication is targeted to raise your base mood.
Mm.
With someone in bipolar, the danger becomes that by raising that, you push them into a manic episode.
Mm.
So there's a certain medication for it, but again, he wasn't 18. So when he was 17, he came home, and it was during the period where it was just before he turned 18, over that kind of 2 or 3 month period where his birthday was kind of in the middle. And I was doing the certification for the Soul Modes Mentors, because I found it really interesting, and I could see how I could help women who had lost babies and pregnancies with it in another way. And he just happened to walk past and hear what I was saying. And so I thought, I'm curious. Carly Marie is a woman that coined Soul Modes and the whole framework for it. And she says that it will identify with anyone that has a feminine core, that being women or anyone from the LGBTQAI plus community that identifies as being more feminine energy led than masculine.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat him down and I went through a few questions and I said, do you feel any of this? And as I went through these lists, he started crying and he's like, Mum, that actually explains me in a way I've never understood before. So that was like a light bulb for us. I then started teaching him all about it and getting him to understand himself and all of the different parts of him, even the parts he didn't like. And it gave us a whole new language in this house. So we used to wake up, everyone in this house, including my other son, would wake up wondering, what's he going to be like today? You know, am I going to be patching holes in the walls? Is he going to, like, there was one occasion where he came out and smashed all of our plates on the kitchen floor, then went in and turned on the hot shower tap. And when I asked him why, he said, because I want to hurt you. You know, I wanted to physically hurt you. I just didn't want to do it myself. And I said, but what if your toddler sister had walked out? And he said, I didn't think of that. You know, he knew that I would have to walk through the kitchen to get the dustpan to clean it. I would have to reach through the hot water to reach the tap to turn it off. It's their brain just switches to this whole new level. So waking up like that every day, wondering, oh God, what's today going to bring? Once we kind of implemented Soul Modes into our family, we could breathe. It was like this cloud was lifted, because now when he wakes up, he'll wake up and he'll say, oh, Mum, I'm in wild mode. And we know that he's in a high energy state and he's going to be bouncing around the walls and in a great mood. That now is kind of where he understands the difference between just being in wild mode and being happy versus hitting a manic episode. And the same on the low end. You know, we have a mode called bear mode that is more about low energy and seclusion and a little bit depressive. But we no longer fear those moods from him, because he can tell the difference.
Right.
And being able to tell the difference between I need help versus I'm just me saved his life, because he can understand it and he can turn to me for when he needs help and when he needs that hand to hold versus I've got this. And it's put us so many steps closer to him being able to be independent. Up until recently, I was still in charge of his medication because he couldn't be trusted with it. And it saved not only his life, but my sanity. Mm-hmm. And I'll be forever grateful that I heard of this when I did.
Yeah, no, it sounds like, you know, the universe provided that opportunity at the perfect time for you. Mm-hmm. You've made it sound simple. I'm sure it's not as simple as that.
Look, it kind of is, to be honest. Okay, so soul modes consists of four different modes, and they always run in the same order. Now, I'll explain what they are and some of the characteristics of them, and then I'll give you an example. So first, we have wild mode. Now, wild mode, as I said, is kind of like a two-year-old on sugar. It's that mode where you feel energized and ready to tackle anything, and nothing's going to get in your way. Your wild mode also tends to be the big dreamer and the big thinker. So she's the one that's like, okay, in a year's time, I want to buy a house, or I want to travel overseas, or I want to do something that's a really big thing that there's no thought to how. It's just, this is what's going to happen. Then we go into bear mode. Now, bear mode is our very seclusive. It's where we find all of our self-doubt, our self-hatred, our questioning of everything comes from. And it's the mode where most people would much rather be at home, in bed, under the blanket, possibly with some ice cream, chocolate, and Netflix, and just ignore the world. It's actually a really important mode because it's where all of the things that we've been suppressing come to the surface. And while at the time it feels absolutely horrible to be thinking all of these things, it's really important to know what they are, because you can't address them if you don't know what they are. So after bear mode comes super mode. Now, super mode is our organizational queen. She is the one that is obsessed with to-do lists. She's an organization queen.
You've met me, have you?
Yeah, exactly. and she's the one that, if we think of our big goal, we think of our bear mode as kind of like the board of directors that's like, okay, well, can we afford it? Can we do it? How are we going to do it? And once that's kind of done, then we kick it onto our super mode, which is like, okay, this is the decision that's been made. Now I'm going to delegate and actually plan. Okay, we've got to save this much money in this much time, or, you know, we've got to start looking at mortgage brokers or whatever it is that is associated with that big goal. But she's also the one on a personal level that will join gyms and start meal planning and have that determination of, I'm going to change everything. That's it. I'm sick of everything of how they are. We're going to change it all, and it's going to be amazing. And it's just, she's on a mission. And God help you if you try and get in the way of a woman in super mode. My kids now know when I'm in super mode to just wait to interrupt me, because I just bite their heads off. So she's great, but she's also the mode that takes all of those things that bubbled up in bear mode and counteracts them. So for me personally, as you can imagine, I have a lot of, oh my God, I'm a terrible mum kind of moments. You know, how did I let this happen? How did I let my son, who I had put all of the drugs of bad messages into, get to that point? And it was my super mode that realized I didn't. It wasn't anything I did or didn't do. At the age of 16, as much as we don't like it, teenagers have their own brains and they make their own decisions, even the bad ones. Mm-hmm. And that all I could do was love him enough for both of us until I could get him to fall back in love with himself. Mm-hmm. And I've got to tell you, that wasn't just a one cycle kind of light bulb moment. That was over many, many months that it took me to really accept the fact that all I could do was support him and love him.
And it is hard to step back, and especially if you are in super mode, I would imagine, exactly, at the time.
Yes, because you don't want to stop and think about that.
No.
But after super mode comes sparkle mode. Now, sparkle, we call our sparkly fairy, and she's very airheaded. She's very, a little bit ditzy, but she's our connection and affection kind of mode where we crave interactions. She's the mode that if you find yourself laying there looking at your kids sleeping, and you feel a tear, just a little tear kind of run down your cheek, and you're like, what am I crying? Yeah, you're in sparkle mode. It's kind of where we want to build those connections with our loved ones, our partners, our kids, our friends, our family and colleagues. And she's the one that likes to make things pretty. So you'll find some days you wake up and you're like, oh, I might do my hair a little bit nice this morning, or I might put some makeup on, or, you know what, that dress that's been in the back of the closet, I'm going to wear that today. You know, you kind of, you're just that little bit more bubbly and a little bit more flittering around, you know. You're not detail orientated at all. You know, all of the to-do list that your super mode just wrote, yeah, they're going to wait because who cares about that? You know, that kind of mode. And when I kind of learned about this, the reason that I found this so important before my son was I work a lot with women who have lost pregnancies and infants. And the story that I kept hearing over and over was that they ended up with postnatal depression because they just felt like the worst mum ever, that they were just taken over with grief and they had toddlers or older children that wanted their attention and they just wanted them to go away and leave them alone. They wanted to push them out of the room and shut the door, which led to the mum guilt.
Mm.
And what I can now explain to them is there's nothing wrong with you. You are in bear mode on top of grieving. And I promise you that once you go through super mode and hit sparkle mode, all of the attention that you didn't want to give them in bear mode, you are going to just soak them up in sparkle mode. You know, you're going to be, you know, dance parties in the kitchen and, you know, playing outside, make believe and hide and seek and all of those things that really connect you with your babies. I promise that it all works together and it's equally balanced. Please don't feel like you're doing anything wrong while you're grieving, because that's a whole different process in itself and there's no way to do grieving wrong.
Okay. So just a question on that, a couple of them, is there, for different personalities, there'd be different intensities through each of those modes.
So yeah. And how, so the way that we kind of cycle through the modes is we kind of fill our cup. So let me give you an example. And I would love for everyone to comment on this once we kind of post this live, but I'll take a hand up from you. We've all been, every woman I've spoken to has had a situation like this where we've been like, that room is disgusting, that cupboard, I need to clean it, it's a mess, or the Tupperware, for example, or the linen cupboard is just everywhere. I need to get in and I need to pull it all out and sort it all out and go through it. So we do. Eventually, we do. We get in there and we pull it all out and we wipe it all down and we're like, yeah, I finally got this done. And then we hit that, oh God, why did I do this? You know, that I don't want to put this back. This was a really stupid idea. What was I thinking? And that is the perfect example of how you started in wild mode, but by actually pulling it all out and feeling and seeing it all kind of splayed everywhere and organized, you've actually filled that cup and that has then transitioned you into the next mode, which is bear mode, which does not want a bar of your organizational stuff at all. And that is the one example I can give that I swear every woman has done at least once in their life.
I'm just thinking of what has transpired over the last couple of days. There's been quite a few things where I felt that I have been, I just had the carpet pulled out from underneath me. So there's been multiple of about five different things. And so for me, I'm not, I don't swing intense through different moods and things, but I'm getting exactly what you're saying. So the last 48 hours, I've just been in that space where I've just needed to, you know, ring a girlfriend and get their support and everything. And not necessarily, yes, so that, but I just went to, I have a box of cards, blank cards and things that I've been sent for years. And I'm getting a gift for a friend this afternoon for her little granddaughter that's just been born. And I've got the gift and I wanted to go through and find a card. So I'm sorting the cards. All of these cards that have been in this box for ages, I'm now sorting them as the blank ones, the happy birthday ones, the get well ones, the thank you. Oh, there's a couple of Christmas ones. They should be in another box. And I've got them all laid out on the bench. I will finish doing it because I finish things that I start.
Yes.
But it was a control. No, I can control this. I haven't been able to control the other things.
Yep.
And then I can control this. So okay. I'm going to do that now.
And at the end of it, even though you didn't put it away or anything, just the fact that sitting here right now knowing that that's organised in piles, when you think of that, do you smile a little inside?
Oh, yeah. I like things to be organised and structured and it makes it simple the next time to find things because they are where they're meant to be.
And I know when I first started understanding soul modes, I was in each mode for a week And then other times I've been in all four modes within one day. How long we spend in each one,
that was
how quickly we kind of do what we need to do and fill that cup. Mm. At the same time, there are moments where I've found in my life where I've had a bear season, for example, where for a full month period, I feel really low energy and really I just want to be secluded. If I could run away and hide in a log cabin from the world, I would have done that. But I've still cycled through the modes underneath that as well.
Right.
So okay. Even in my highest of energy modes, in my wild mode, I still wanted to get things done and I still wanted to do the big planning and the moving myself forward, but I would much rather kind of not at the same time. So it's something that is different for everyone, and how each of these modes kind of show up is different for everyone, as well as what fills your cup. There are some, you know, general guideline frameworks, but how it works for each individual person, you know, for them is a little bit different.
But just a question there on the time frames, because that was one I was thinking, you know, so okay, that's done now, got that out of the way, now I go here and then, you know, going to be done in moments of time.
Look, it really can. I've had a few clients come to me and say, oh, I think I skipped super mode, or I think I skipped sparkle mode because I didn't really feel that lovey-dovey feeling. And to that, I say two things. Either maybe you went and had your hair done and that was enough for your self-care in sparkle mode to feel pretty. And so it was only a couple of hours that you were in it, so you didn't even have time to notice. But also, now each of these modes, if you kind of think of it in like a square, the ones that are opposite each other are quite often hard to figure out which one you're in. So I've had many a sparkle mode as a single mum where I feel like crap. There's no nice way to put it. And when I really, so how I define what mode I'm in is I ask myself, if I could do anything at all in this moment, what would I want to do?
Okay, that's a good question. If you could do anything, and that then helps you.
Yeah, if you ask yourself like really deeply on that soul level, all obligations be damned, if I could do anything at all right now, what would it be? Mm-hmm. And you will quite often find...
Go and finish that, sorting out the cards.
Exactly, yes. Or I'd love to go and have my hair done. Or I'd really love to go in and tackle that job. Or I'd actually really like to just go back to bed. Mm. You kind of learn after a while exactly what each mode feels like for you. And it's amazing that once you start paying attention and can pick them up, it's just this whole new world. And the reason I love it so much is I actually also work with business owners with this. And I do that because as a business owner, especially someone that works by myself, or I do have a VA as well, but being able to plan out my time. So if I know that I have to sit down and write a program for a client, I'm going to do that in super mode because that's actually going to feel good to me. And it's going to make me feel accomplished and like I've really done something good that day. Whereas if I try to do that in bear mode, it's going to feel like so much work. I'm not going to want to do it. It's going to feel really draining at the end of the day, even though, you know, if I just waited that little bit, it would actually make me feel energized and amazing. I might need to create a new workbook for a course, and I'm going to do that in sparkle mode because she wants to make things pretty and she wants to make all of the connections and make it all look lovely so that it connects with people. And by knowing your modes and by knowing how to hack them, you know, knowing how to kind of force yourself to go through them, you can plan your week in a way that you're going to end each day feeling accomplished and feeling incredible, even on your low energy days where you may have only just gotten up and got the kids to school. Like that might have been the extent of your day. And the rest of the day was spent by yourself laying on the lounge watching TV. But by doing so, you're giving yourself that self-care and that reset. And the one thing I love about soul modes is each of the modes is another step to pushing you forward. If we don't kind of take steps in life, we stay in the same situation and we're stagnant and life gets boring. And that's kind of where depression sets in, because it's always the same and nothing changes. But each mode is designed to give you that next step. So your wild mode is planning ahead. It's planning something to look forward to. Your bear mode is dealing with all of the reasons not to do that, or all of the reasons why that would be hard. And then your super mode is counteracting all of those and saying, okay, well, none of that matters, because, you know, I'm not a bad businesswoman because I didn't make that workbook last week. I was too busy designing something else. You know, so I was still doing work, but it wasn't necessarily the work that I, you know, decided I had to do on Tuesday, for example.
Yeah.
And then your sparkly fairy is making sure that all of the relationships and connections that you have in life still have a place in amongst all the chaos. It might be taking an hour to colour in with your kids. It might be going on a date night with your partner. It might just be going out for drinks with the girls. But each of these modes are making sure that you are constantly taking a step forward, even if it's a baby step. And I love the fact that even on my worst of days, I know that I'm not a horrible mum. I'm not a horrible friend or business owner or any of those things. I'm just experiencing the modes that I've always actually gone through. I just didn't know that there was a framework and a pattern to them until someone pointed it out.
Okay, so you said you can power through them?
Yeah.
Yes. Is that with intent?
Yeah, it is. So if, for example, I quite often find my bear modes, if I am too busy with work, or if the kids have got something on and I'm just like, look, I don't have time for bear mode. I don't have time to sit there and worry about myself because there's 50 other things that need my attention. The longer I do that, the longer I stay in bear mode. The moment that I pick up my journal and I just write out all of the horrible thoughts and all of the feelings that I have, and get it all out, then I start transitioning, because I'm no longer ignoring the fact that my subconscious or my soul, however you want to think of it, is trying to tell me these are the things right now that I need to address and I need to deal with in order to move forward. If I ignore them, then I'm staying in bear mode, because I'm not allowing myself to recognize those things and to move forward to do something about them. So
for me this morning, ringing my girlfriend, that was my way out of bear mode. And another friend had a feeling that she needed to call me as well.
You filled that cup by just reaching out and saying, I just need to talk about this.
That's all it was needed, was to talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And to somebody who was on the same page and could give the support you wanted, not questioned.
Sometimes it's just having someone hear it. Sometimes it's not, some people aren't journalers, and I certainly wasn't up until a couple of years ago. Some people are more verbal, and so they would much rather call someone and have that conversation. But again, just by getting it out and by saying it or writing it, you're addressing it and recognizing that it's a thing. And in, you know, when you kind of move into the super mode, you're going to subconsciously remember that conversation or be able to look back through your journal and go, oh yeah, I did feel like that. Another example is that one day you feel like, right, I'm going to go and buy a new car today. I'm so sick of this car. I've had enough. I'm going to go to the dealership and I'm going to buy a new car. So your wild mode takes you on over to the car dealership and you tell the man, I'm going to buy a new car, but I'm not paying anything over this price and blah, 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 blah. So he finds you the perfect car and he has to order it in because you're buying it brand new. So you put your deposit down, you go home and you're like, right, I got a new car. Then bear mode, and your bear mode's like, oh my God, how much did I just pay for that car? And how much did he trap me into paying extra for paint protection and all of those things? Did I just spend more than I needed to? What was I thinking? I can't do this. That was a really silly idea. But then you cycle through again and you're like, oh no, I can afford that because I'm now no longer paying for this or that or whatever your situation may be. But it's so funny that once you know about them and you know the order they go in and you start tracking them for yourself, that you can look back and say, oh, I see that. I see how that kind of came up for me in that particular instance. And it just kind of like, there's quite often days where I ask myself that question of, if I could do anything, what would I do right now? Where I kind of sit there and go, oh, look, I could go back to bed, or I could go and start working on, you know, mapping out something, you know, kind of a planner thing. And my feet are kind of in both. And again, it's not a clear defined line of you're in this or that. There are instances that I find where I'm kind of asking that question right as I'm going from one to another. So I kind of have a foot in both things. And it's because I'm asking myself at a moment where I haven't quite dealt with that last little bit of bear mode. I might have, you know, I might have not had the conversation yet to a point where I got all of it brought up, or I might have just needed that a bubble bath, you know, a bubble bath that would just kind of fill that cup just to the brim to push me in. So it's amazing that we can figure out how to kind of hack ourselves and look at ourselves in that way. And I know that there's another analogy where we kind of think of it as like a computer. You know, our wild mode is that there is a new update, please install. The bear mode is actually installing the update, and everything has to stop for that to happen. You have to stop. It all has to do its thing so that it can work properly. And then our super mode is the reboot. Then you see what all the new things are. And then our sparkle mode is learning how this whole new thing works. And then there's another reboot. So no matter which one of the analogies that you connect with, it all comes down to the same thing. So it just, there's so many different ways. And I quite often have men in one of my networking groups. And one of them said to me, I thought this was going to be really boring and I didn't really care what you had to say, but let me get this straight. You're saying that when I had that argument with my ex-wife because I didn't take the rubbish out, that ultimately was the last straw and we got divorced and I lost a whole house. Are you saying that was actually like her in super mode? And because she'd asked me four times before and I hadn't done it, that fifth time when she had to ask if I'd taken the damn rubbish out, and I said no, and that was the straw of the camel's back. Are you saying you could have saved me a house? And I went, yes, I could have.
Interesting. So, yeah. And is there a tendency, I mean, introverts and extroverts have a different way of getting energy. And so that, you know, is there a tendency for people to be a much more comfortable or to sit in a mode more comfortably than others?
Yeah, there really is. And that's what I love about this thing. Soul Modes has only been around for 2 years. There's a book and a movie. Anyone that would like to have a look at it, jump onto YouTube. It's free, and or onto any of our social medias. And you'll be able to kind of get a bit more of a gist of it. But I love the fact that there is only 35 of us certified Soul Modes mentors in the world, and there won't be any more that have been trained to the level that we have. And in our little group where we kind of discuss things behind the scenes with each other, we're all discovering these new bits and pieces about it as we go. And one of them is the seasons, that you can kind of sit in an overall umbrella of one of the seasons but still cycle underneath. Mm-hmm. And that you can have one of them that is kind of more aligned with your personality as a whole overall. But again, you will still cycle through them, but that predominant mode, or that leadership mode that kind of resonates with you more, you'll notice kind of even in each mode, if you are like, my son has OCD, so even in his bear modes, he's still thinking that, you know, did I put the toothpaste lid on right? Did I put, you know, is everything lined up? You know, did I put my shoes back in the cupboard? And all of those things that most people would associate with super mode, but because of his underlying conditions, it actually shows up in all of the modes. Right. And that's what I love about it. I love learning and working with women especially, and learning how for them it actually shows up a little differently to the previous 10 people I've spoken to. Mm-hmm. And it just gives us so much more of an idea of how broad this is, and an understanding of how it does affect each of us differently. in order to help those people that when we kind of explain it in the more generic way, they go, oh, I get it, but, you know, I kind of always want to be organized, a bit like yourself.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes in that we've now learnt that it's one of those things that you will have, you might not, but a lot of people will kind of really feel they fell into that mode more deeply and more easily than the others. And that's because that's probably their home base, so to speak. It's an amazing, amazing program.
I can't believe how much we've covered and how quickly the time has gone as well. It's quite amazing. And so, no, it's good. Three takeaways that we want to quickly add for people.
Where do we start?
So 3 points if they go, oh gosh, there's amazing stories. Maybe I can't take it all in, but I've got these 3 points I'm going to take.
Three points would be, number one, you're not broken. If anyone says to you that you're lazy, you're not lazy. There's a really good chance you're in bear mode and you're looking after yourself, and you've got to look after yourself before you can look after others. Number two is that this is only for women and femcore beings. Yes, those beings will identify with this and will have experienced it, but it's also for the men in our life, the fathers of teenage girls and the husbands among us that
want to save houses.
Yeah, that want to save houses, that want to understand their teenager on a level that helps parent them in a productive way and doesn't push them away, and to save marriages, because you finally understand that your wife doesn't hate you, she just wants you to leave her alone for an hour and take the kids away to the park. And number three is that it's not hard. The framework that I have and that I can walk you through is as easy to understand as what we have today, but we just go into it in a bit more depth and work out exactly how it shows up for you. And we work out a plan for working out exactly what you want to work on in life, whether it's self-esteem, whether it's mindset, whether it's for your business and you want to implement this into your leadership program for your team. There's so many ways that this can impact your life in a positive way. And all you've got to do is ask, and we can work that out.
That's fantastic. It's certainly, I love it when I learn new stuff, Alison. And when and this is one of the reasons I do the podcast, is because interviewing amazing people like yourself that are doing something that is really quite groundbreaking, but it just seems so damn obvious when you start looking at. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
once you kind of know it, and you're going to go away all day today, and you're going to be thinking, last week I did that thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that does kind of fit in with, you know, me being in bear mode yesterday and hitting super this morning. And later on, you're going to be doing something that you...
I'm going to see a show tonight and going out with a girlfriend for dinner. So there you go.
But you'll notice while you're there, because you've filled that cup today and you're moving into something that is perfectly around and, you know, within that sparkle mode, the connection with your girlfriend and the experience that you have is going to, tomorrow you're going to be in wild mode and you're going to be all back at it and you're going to be determined and make
excellent. I'm running a mastermind tomorrow, so that's perfect for that as well. the how can people work with you?
We have a website, which is alisonmarie.com.au. you can also find us on, I think, all the socials. We have Facebook, Instagram, there is a YouTube and a TikTok, and we are going to be launching a podcast shortly that's actually going to also have my son on it, where we talk to parents, especially drug addicted or groomed or parents with kids with mental health issues, where we talk about it from both of our perspectives, so that the parent listening can hear how what they're saying would hit their child. And also, as I'm giving the parent side of things, that if they play this for their kids, or if their kids happen to overhear, that when we say, why are you doing drugs? What we really mean is, what is happening in your life that's what you're turning to calm yourself. And it makes such a difference for a child to hear what we really mean versus, you know, the parent saying it to the child and what would have happened if that's the approach you take. Yeah. So that's coming in 2022.
Wow, that's very cool. Yeah.
Yeah,
brilliant. And all of the links will be on the course notes anyway. So if people want to get in touch, they'll be able to do exactly that. Thank you so much for sharing your information, sharing your story, and just giving us this food for thought. And we can start identifying where we are and just giving ourselves a break, or enabling ourselves to achieve or just have fun, whatever yeah, whatever needs to be done.
You should find some links where, or even I think they're on the website too, where you can get some free downloadables. And one of them is a daily tracker so that you can start to begin to track exactly what mode you're in and how you feel that day and start on your own journey without me if you need to.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much, Alison.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I am so glad that you were able to join and listen to Alison Ockenden's amazing information on soul modes. Remember to leave a 5-star review if you've loved what you've heard today. And if you're not sure about where you're heading in your business, you're not sure about what's going on in your life at the moment, and you just might just need someone to connect with, then go to my website, JaneneBosford.com, and book in a strategy call. But it can be just a, you know, where are you heading and how maybe I can help you achieve those results and get there with mentoring programs or other programs. But thank you again. Look forward to you listening and downloading the next episode of the We Are Women podcast.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.